This episode is brought to you by Habit Aware. My Keen 2 brings awareness to my trichotillomania by giving my wrist a gentle hug or vibration when I'm doing the scanning behavior. Bring awareness into your life by visiting barbaralally.com/habitaware and use code LALLYLOVE for 10% off.
Hello, I'm Carmen. I have had trichotillomania since I was about 7 or 8. It has been my companion for a long time. I pull from my scalp and have gone through varying intensities of thinness. And, you know, like I did an undercut one time and then, you know, my location shifted and then things kind of changed and my relationship to it has morphed along the years. So that's kind of where we can start.
When you first started, you mentioned you pulled from your scalp. Did you tell your parents? Did somebody notice? How did you kind of get to the point where you found out there was a name for this?
Well, the first time that I pulled, I feel like it was a really normal thing, actually, because I pulled a piece of hair to like floss something in my teeth out. And I have ADHD and like self-diagnosed on the spectrum. And so for me, I found myself like playing with it in my mouth. And it was very, you know, people want you to be quiet and composed in social situations. And I found like it was a way that I could fidget that no one would see. And it's interesting because I listened to one of your podcasts actually last night. And the woman who was a poet, and she was talking about how her mom also had trich. And it's interesting because my dad has never identified as having trich, but he, you know, pulls out his beard hairs. So my mom noticed that it was happening in the way that I think a lot of parents notice, because the hair is on the floor and on the rug. And, you know, if she would braid my hair for me, it was getting thinner. That kind of thing, but not in the way of, I know that you're doing this and I know why you're doing it kind of way. So it was very roundabout. And yeah, I mentioned my dad because I'm kind of curious if there's like a genetic component to this at all. But yeah, my relationship to my parents knowing about my trich has been very, very shame and embarrassment rooted. My mom, like many moms, was concerned about her daughter's appearance. And the way that having a daughter with trich would impact her social standing with other moms and et cetera, et cetera. So it wasn't necessarily, I mean, yeah, I have a complicated relationship with them. So if it sounds negative, it is what it is. But yeah, it was very much not really concerned about my well-being, which I feel like my trich was rooted in a difficulty of well-being so much as just vanity.
Yeah, I often hear people saying that their parents, and even mine included, whether they had good intentions or not, it sounds bad because they're like, oh, people are going to think that you're ugly, or don't you want boys to like you? Or, you know, they're saying these things and I'm already thinking them and they're just reinforcing them. And so my self-talk was just crazy negative.
Yeah, absolutely. I relate to that a lot, especially the thing about boys where it's just like, oh, you know, they're not going to think you're pretty. Or, you know, when we would have people come over, she'd make such a pointed comment to be like, make sure you sweep your room and that there's no hair on the floor. And it just made me feel so ashamed because I was like, I don't think anyone would notice that. But apparently they might.
There was really not much information. There's more now, and there will be more in the future. And we're so exciting that so many people are sharing their experience like you. And parents sometimes are like, oh, well, like, put your hand down. That's not anything to do with all the other reasons why I'm self-soothing this way and what I'm doing because of this. Like, you're just noticing that there's physical hair on the floor. What about everything else?
Yeah, and like, why is it? I think a lot about how parents will just, like you said, just see that it's happening and they really don't think about why. Is their child anxious? Well, then why are they anxious? Is their child struggling with something in their parent techniques and raising? Is something not working for them? And I find that I have known maybe two or three people in my like real life world with trick. And I have not known a person with trick that hasn't struggled in some way that then triggered all of it.
Where did you find support, if any?
You know, I was in 1999, so I'm like in the early Gen Z, late millennial, like zillennial. So I grew up chronically online. And I honestly didn't know the name for trichotillomania until I was a teenager, so probably like 17. So I'd had it for just about 10 years at that point. And it was always something that I hid. And I remember seeing maybe like a website that was like, "Is your child pulling her hair out?" And I was like, "That's a really harsh wording. Like, it doesn't feel as harsh when I do it, you know? It's so soothing and, you know, it makes me feel good in a strange way, like comforted in when I get the imagery of like, is your child pulling her hair out?" For me, it sounds so violent, like fistfuls of hair being clutched and yanked and there's blood and, you know, it's like that wasn't what I was doing. And it just, yeah. So I didn't really have a support network. And actually, I mean, until I got into college and, you know, started therapy. And even then, I haven't really found one, which is why I took action so quickly after finding your TikTok live, because I was like, I was so alone for 95% of my experience with trick that if I can at least make it so someone else is not alone or discriminated or feels weird or alienated, then I feel like it's important to contribute to that.
I'm so interested to hear you had people in real life that you knew with Trick and other BFRBs. Can you tell me how you found out?
One of my friends, we were watching a movie once, and I'm sure a lot of people with trick can relate to this, but my pulling is very passive when I'm doing like movie watching or I'm scrolling through TikTok or reading a book or something. My hand is just in my hair. And it's a very subconscious act that I don't even really register is happening. And so, you know, I was pulling and stuff, and she noticed and she was like, "Oh my God, do you have trick?" And I was like, and this was in college. And I cried. It was just this really complicated feeling. And it made me feel less alone, but also it felt really strange to talk about and admit to experiencing as well, even though she had literally enthusiastically related to me. It wasn't any like shame response of any kind. But yeah, and then the other person I knew was I worked as a nanny in my early 20s. I'm 24 now, so I guess like I'm in my mid 20s. But when I was like 19 and 20, I worked as a nanny, and one of the kids I nannied for, I saw her pull. And it was a really, I was more excited than she was because for me, I felt the opportunity present itself to me where I could just like show her and be like, "You're not doing something bad. You're not a bad person. This is something that is, it was really complicated, and I was too young to do it right. I didn't really have the emotional intelligence or the, you know, vocabulary. I mean, she was only like 5 or 6 at the time. And it was kind of hard to explain to her and be like, "You don't have to feel embarrassed." And she's like, "I don't," but kind of was projecting my whole childhood experience onto her and be like, "It's fine, someone understands you." But yeah, and those are the two people that I've really ever met. And so, I mean, finding out that there's a online community is really again, exciting isn't really the word, but you just step into a new type of representation and understanding of people who relate to your greatest source of shame and embarrassment.
You reminded me, I remember I was in college, like early 2010s era, and I looked up hashtag trichotillomania on Tumblr, saw these accounts that were posting about it. I messaged them, oh my gosh, I have it too. They messaged me back these beautiful, like long, long paragraphs of their experience. I never responded. I was so scared. Like, I was just like, I can't do this. Like, I was okay enough to say, I have it. Like, hey, me too. But I was not at all ready to even hear and like digest their experience, relate to it. And I was like, ah, oh my gosh, you know, but yeah, which just wasn't ready. I wasn't ready.
No, I 100% understand that. It feels like such a brave thing to even admit to. And as I've grown more in my companionship with it and acceptance of it being in my life, I've just kind of also come to the realization that no one cares as much as I do about it and no one notices.
Did you know Habit Aware also offers virtual peer coaching? This one-to-one peer-based program will coach you through shifting mindset, practicing healthy strategies, and creating your personal roadmap to recovery. To work with me, Ellen, or Anila, head over to habitaware.com/coaching today. What are some ways that you tried to maybe lessen your pulling growing up?
It really wasn't until I was in college. So, going on almost 15 years of having it, that I ever really thought to myself, like, oh, maybe we should slow down. I have curly hair, and so there's a lot of volume, which makes it easy to hide this. And it was fine, honestly, for a long time because of that. And I didn't feel self-conscious about it because I didn't feel like I looked different than anyone else. And then when I was in college, just the accumulation of all of the years started kind of catching up with me. And more specifically, like I mentioned earlier, I shaved my undercut and I didn't do it in any type of like mitigation technique for my trich, but it shifted the location of my trich very substantially from the back of my head to the top. And then I really noticed in a way that I'd never noticed before the thinning and, you know, how you can see the scalp more. And then it was very much so like, oh, I need to, I'm gonna have to, like, I don't know. They have like a lot of like the root spray you can spray to make it look thicker. I was like, I'm gonna actually have to start looking into like toppers and stuff if I don't slow down. So mitigation, I've tried like the taping of your fingers and just like awareness of how much I'm pulling. I really liked what you've said on your channel where it's like, it's okay not to be pull free, but maybe pull less. And that's kind of where I've been. I noticed that when I have tried to stop, I am met with this really profound, like, inner child grief. It feels like a punishment to myself, and I can't, like, it's not that I'm unwilling to work through that, but like, it's just really distressing. And so I think I'm at a place where I'm just accepting that maybe it's okay to just consciously try to reduce instead of eliminate.
If you don't mind me asking, what is your ritual with trichotillomania, you know, with the hair pulling?
I have a thing for the textured, tight, coiled, like all of those things. I do tend to, you know, I have the process of like pulling it out, and you know, there's a aspect of like selectivism or selectiveness to like the type of hair I shall accept. Has to be the right grade and quality. Or else it shall be thrown on the floor. Yeah, I tend to, you know, rub it on my lips and like swirl it in my mouth. For a long time, I had a really bad habit of like biting the hair into little pieces. I have managed to weed that out because I am nothing if not a little sprinkle of hypochondria. And I saw things about like hairballs forming in people's small intestines and like sending them to the hospital. And I was like, if I'm embarrassed about having thin hair, I will be mortified if I have to tell a doctor what is going on. So, you know, sometimes little quirks can work for you. You just gotta go with it. So, but yeah, that's kind of my big one. I think I pull mostly when I'm deep in thought. I'm a writer and I work as an engineer. And so there are a lot of times where I'm very passively looking on the computer that I'm just like hand in my hair, watching TV, scrolling through TikTok. But yeah, those are my big zones.
Have you ever pulled hair from any other area or just mainly scalp?
I wish I could pull from my arms or my legs. I have tried so hard, and no, nothing has really stuck as much as like my scalp, and specifically like those little curly regrowth hairs. Those are just unfortunately my jam.
And then, how about other BFRBs? Have you experienced those in your lifetime?
Oh yeah, I am a horrible nail biter down to the parts that hurt to peel up. I am also a really bad cheek biter and lip biter, but I'm trying to get rid of the cheek biting because I've heard it can give you jowls, and that's horrifying. But my cheek is kind of like a steak, and it's next to my hair pulling that is my top one. So that'll be a really hard one to break. And then in general, just like I'm a really big fidgeter. So like I always pull my cuticles, I'm always like messing around with my hands. Things are always moving. Like I said, I have the ADHD. Yeah, I think there's a like really like vacuum hole lack of cross analysis between neurodivergency and BFRBs because I feel like they are very much so sensation seeking. For me, like I'm always doing them when I'm nervous or fidgety, which is a kind of constant state for me.
I've had people in my comments mentioning how they pull their hair out, but they have autism and they view it as a stim. And they're like, well, I'm not going to stop stimming. And I'm like, look, your experience is your experience. You know, it can be something where, yes, I have comorbidity with many other things. Like, you, that's very common. And what makes it also super, you know, hard and complex and challenging to treat because it's tied with everything else. So it is so interesting, you know, how. Although we can relate on so many levels, there is uniqueness with us and what other comorbidities we may or may not have.
Yeah, I wish there were more studies. I also understand and can empathize that it's probably hard to get studies done. I worked in a lab for a long time, so I understand like the process of having to, you know, set up a research study, and it's probably really hard to get people to admit to this and be willing to participate in this and contribute to scientific research. Just because I know it's, even though I want to be on this podcast, it is hard for me to be on this podcast. So I can't imagine being cited and referenced in a study.
I was telling people like it took me, I mean, 100 times to share with a stranger. You know, I have a tattoo of my book title, you know, about the trick. Yeah. So, you know, people ask, what is your tattoo about? So I had a lot of practice, but it took about 100 times until I was able to share without blushing and getting hot and sweaty and red because, oh my gosh, I already had wrote the book, but I'm out here and I still get scared. You know, it's practice over and over. And if they had asked me, first of all, I wouldn't have gotten the tattoo when I first started. I was so scared of telling anybody. I kept it a secret for most of my life, like you, like that 95% was in hiding.
I can't imagine as a teenager, I would have been mortified. I would have denied it with every bit of my body. I would have said, this is not happening. You're wrong. So it's like it's just I haven't really, again, like in my very limited experience in meeting people with trick, haven't met any who weren't at least a little embarrassed about it.
How has your relationship with your trichotillomania changed over time?
I think the biggest evolution has been from shame to acceptance. As a teenager, I was a really, really anxious teenager. It was the kind of anxiety that would just like rattle my bones. And it was the only thing that I felt like I could do to vent that in some regard. And in college, it's sort of, I moved out of my parents' house, which was a really big transition away from that perpetual anxiety. I became someone who was more at peace with their life, their body, themselves, who they were. And I feel like with that, my acceptance for living with this became increased. It might be a strange way to put it, but I've never really talked about this stuff before. So yeah, I mean, and now I feel like I'm 24 now. I've had it for 16 years, and it feels like such a big time when I put it like that, like good grief. Yeah, now I'm just sort of like, okay, you know, I am an adult with adult money. You can fix problems if it bothers me that much, but I try very hard to remember that no one notices and no one cares as much as I do.
What would be your advice to someone who wants to start sharing their experience?
That no one cares as much as you do. It's something that feels so embarrassing and feels so hard to talk about, but I don't think there's anything. I think if someone continues to believe that there's something wrong with them, they're never going to allow themselves to potentially find a day where they don't believe that there's something wrong with them. And kind of the path through, you know, from point A to point B tends to be accepting that our narrative might be wrong and that there are people out there who can understand us and, you know, accept us and say like, oh yeah, that's not embarrassing. It's okay. You know, it's really healing. Right now, this moment that I'm talking about this feels like crossing the Olympic finish line. It feels like for me, the process of, you know, openly, honestly, just saying like, yeah, this is what I've gone through and like what I've dealt with feels like my teenage self is both cringing and feeling like I'm the bravest person I've ever been. So it makes me feel really proud. And I think teenage Carmen would be really proud of myself for coming on here.